Just by way of review, Romans chapter 1 through 3 was all about sin. And I think Paul proved very well that we're sinners. And by birth, we are disqualified from God's holy heaven. And he proved it to people who had the Bible. The Jewish people had the Bible. And you think, well, with the Bible, they should have done right. But Paul's point was that just because they had God's law, it didn't make them do right. It made them know when they were wrong. And so by the Bible or by the law of Moses, people were sinners because they knew what was right and didn't do it. Now some of us grew up with no Bible. And God said, well, that group of us who never had a Bible, we're sinners too. Because we have a little voice in our head that God created that says when you're about to do the wrong thing, don't do that. And you know what your little kid does. He doesn't. And so it's my conscience. And so even people with no Bible can see that I have sinned, so I need salvation. Now, just before Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Paul says this, for there is no distinction, there's no difference between the sinners who had the Bible, the law of Moses, and the sinners who didn't have the law of Moses. Every person in the whole world has the same problem, and that sin. The good part about that is if there's one problem, how many answers do we need? We just need one answer to one problem. And so now Paul is concentrating on the answer. From the middle of chapter 3 forward, he's telling us that we are now saved as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're saved by faith and not by doing the Ten Commandments. Now, if you were like me, I grew up believing that good boys go to heaven. And that's what my church taught me. They said, if you're good, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. And the first time I heard this, I said, this is so crazy. I've never heard this. And I grew up in church. I said, show me from the Bible. You know, all of Paul's people felt the same way. That Paul is writing this letter. He's the author. And the Jewish people, even though they had the Bible, they thought they were saved by doing good. And so Paul is now going to prove to us this morning, by giving us some good examples, that you're not saved by doing good. You're saved by trusting Jesus by faith, and God then saves you as a gift. So how are you being saved today? Are you saved by, but look, this is for us today. Even if I know it, God's giving you good examples. This is to prove it. And I put up here, how does God make men right? I mean, you want to be right with God. And so, example number one, we have to fill in the blank here, the father of the Jewish nation. Who is the father of the Jewish nation? And since you're not all blurting it out, let's read. Yeah, don't talk over each other. What then shall we say that, what is it? Abraham. What shall we say that Abraham, our forefather is the father who was before us, right? It's like your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Well, he wasn't my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. He was Paul's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Because Paul was a Jew. So he's talking to the Jewish people and he's saying, what did Abraham find? Because Abraham was the very first Jew. You know, every nation has to start with one person. Most nations have no idea who the first person was. The Jewish people, the first person that began their nation is Abraham. And so Paul is going to ask the question, okay, I am going to show you that even before Jesus, the only way to get saved was trusting the Lord. And God will save you as a gift. And I'm going to prove it by bringing to you the first Jewish man, whose name is what? Abraham. Yes, so the first Jewish man. And so he's saying, well, what shall we say then that Abraham, our forefather, our great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, according to the flesh has found? That means by birth. That's by birth, okay? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. Here. Here's our example. And I'm not writing Abraham all out. I'm writing Abe. I hope that's okay. Abe, the father of the Jewish nation. Example number one. How is a man right with God? Well, if Abraham was justified by works, and again, what does justified mean? It means to be made or to be said to be right. And Paul's question here is, he says, what has Abraham found? What in Abraham's life, was he saved by works or was he saved by believing? And this is an amazing example. He's the first Jew, right? But he's also even before Jesus. How were people saved before Jesus died on the cross? And this is amazing to the Jewish people because they taught, most of them taught, they were saved by doing good. So if Abraham was declared right by works, by what he did, he has something to boast about. How does that work? If I'm good enough, okay, who can get to heaven by being good? Thank you. Nobody, right? Well, what if I can do it? Then I'm better than you. Right? I am so good. I haven't sinned for 5 minutes. I'm going to heaven. Is that true? No, absolutely. You probably followed me around today and you caught me in several sins. But if you could be good enough to go to heaven, you'd be the only person in the whole world, so you could boast or brag and say, I'm the only one who got to heaven. Well, by the way, who's the only one who got to heaven just because he was good? It's Jesus. Yeah, and he's not bragging about it. It's who he is. So if Abraham could be right with God, and again, that's that word, it's just a good word to learn. If Abraham was justified by what he did, by his working, then he has something to brag about, but not before God. Because that's not how God saves people. All right? Isn't this good? Isn't he a good example? Say, well, he's talking to his people and he say, you want an example from someone who's important in your lives? The Jewish people said, the most important person is Abraham. And he was saved by works. And Paul says, no, he was not saved by works. And so he gets them. And he says, what does the scripture say? And he is going to prove to his readers that the Bible says that Abraham was not saved by works, but Abraham was saved by trusting the Lord. And so, he says, for what does the scripture or the Bible say? And here's exactly, and here's where it is, your Bible doesn't have this, but I put it here for it. He's quoting the first book of Moses. And he's saying, here's what the Bible says about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Genesis 15:6. Oh, that is so good. Let's read it together. Now, credited is a hard word, but I think we can handle it. Okay, let's start with Abraham, everybody. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Genesis 15:6. So, what does the Bible say? How did Abraham get saved? How did Abraham get right with God? Even before Jesus. God gave Abraham his word, his promise. And Abraham thought about it, and he said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Do you know how he did it? God, it must have been Jesus, because God appeared to Abraham like a man. And Abraham and God took Abraham, and he took him outside of his tent at night, and they looked at all the stars together that Jesus had created. And God, standing next to Abraham, said, you're going to have so many sons and daughters. It's going to be like the stars in the sky in number. Now, Abraham had a choice. How many sons and daughters did Abraham have when God said, Abraham, look at the stars that I made. Abraham, your sons and daughters are going to be as many as those stars up there. And Abraham's counting his children. I don't have any children. Abraham was 90 years old. He's going to be 100 years old and no children. And you know how young his wife was? 90. She's like an old lady. Do 90-year-old women have children? Well, not normally. Now his choice is he going to believe God who says a 100-year-old man and a dead woman, basically dead inside of her, is going to have more children than all those stars up there? He's thinking, this is God. He's talking to me. It's a promise for me. Abraham chose to believe God. And God chose to say, Abraham, you are right with me. You have believed me. I'm giving you my righteousness. Now, Abraham believed God for all these children. Today, we believe Jesus. We believe God's giving him his word. It's as if he's taking you by the shoulder and he's saying, look, I gave my son for you. Jesus died on the cross with your sins and paid for every sin. If you believe me, I will make you a child. All you have to believe is for one child, and that's you. Can you do that? And he says, as many as received him, to them who believe in his name, to them he gave a right to become the children of God. So you see, the promise today is a little different because Jesus has come. The promise is a little different because Jesus already paid and died for my sins on the cross, and now he's in heaven. But the promise is still, I have to believe the Lord, and he gives me a credit. You know, when you go to the bank and you deposit money, your account is credited, right? Think about your account before God. My account before God, when I'm born, has zero in it. And then I do my first sin. And how much does my account with God have? It has below zero. And then as I continue on life, I'm getting a debt. I don't just have zero. I have an actual debt that I'm accumulating. The gift of God credits the righteousness. It wipes my debt out before God and makes me right. This is unbelievable, but it's believable, right? I say unbelievable because who could ever imagine that God would be that generous? That, when I first heard this, that was my question. How could God do anything like that? To give away eternal life is what I was thinking. But then when I think again, how could it be any other way? Because there's nothing I can do. The only possible way is if
God paid for it and God made it a gift.
And so example number one is Abraham, the father of a Jewish nation. So a hero. God took a Jewish hero. And then it says, the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as, you see the word right in there, righteousness, the being right. Now, he makes a summary here. He says, now to the one who works. And then he has something to the one who doesn't work. Now, I have a question here for you. Right now, each one of us in this room is either in verse 4 or verse 5. Let's read the verses. And I want you to identify yourself in verse 4 or verse 5. Now to the one who works. All right, that's some of us. His wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. Should I explain it? Okay, you get your paycheck. You don't have to thank your boss for giving you that money. Why? He didn't give it to you. You worked. I just saw somebody's hands. Go, Ray, how did you get all those calluses? Was that your new job? You got all those calluses on your hand? Those are tough working man's hands. And you don't have to thank your boss because you got the calluses from the work. You did the work. You earned it. All right? And so if you can work your way to heaven, it's no favor. It's no grace. It's what's due. All right. So there is one person here now to the one who works. This is, he's getting the idea, not working at Tyson or any of those places, but works to get to heaven. Now, five is another person, but the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. All right, what about the person who doesn't work and say, I cannot work my way to heaven? All right, well, first of all, he trusts in God who makes right people. You know, ungodly is a person without God. There's good ungodly people and there's bad ungodly person. But when I'm born in the world, I'm born separated from God. And so, but to him who believes in the one who declares right, the one without God, his faith, his trust is the credit as righteousness. All right. That's the only two people in the room. It's the only two people in the world. Where are you and where do you want to be? So, and don't tell me, I mean, but you have to, before God, are you working your way to heaven or are you refusing to work and letting Jesus do the work you cannot do? Someone has to work. But only Jesus works work. That makes sense. He did the work I can't do. All right, so, and I hope that if you look at these two verses and you identified, if you identified, yes, I'm still trying to be good enough to get to heaven. That's how I'm trying to get to heaven. That right now, before I even finish, you would change your mind. You know Jesus is alive and just give him the work. Lord Jesus, I trust you right now this morning to do what I can't do. And he hears your heart. You don't even have to say a word. He hears your heart. And the moment you stop working and start trusting the work of Jesus, bang, God sees it. God gives you eternal life. And he's not talking about life here, but he's talking about he makes you right. That's part of it. Righteousness, he makes you right. Well, that's good. So we have example number one. How do I know from the Bible or how do I know from my history that God's way of salvation is by faith and not by works? So we got Abraham, the first Jew. Who else should we have next? Who is the best, most famous hero king in Israel's history? David. Let's pull David out of a hat. And I'll make him blue. That's a good king color. D-A, I'll do cursive. Look at that. D-A-V-I-D. David is the most famous king in Israel. You realize that Paul's talking to these Jewish people who insist that being saved is by works. And he says, oh yeah, let me take you to the first Jew. All right. They say, well, maybe. He says, okay, let me take you to the most famous king of Israel. They go, no. Yeah, David. He was saved by doing good, was he? And again, what does the Bible say? I mean, these are examples. You can't argue with this. You either have to say, when you look at this stuff, you either have to say, well, this is what the Bible's saying. And I have a choice to believe God or not. But let's go on, let's read here. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness, doesn't just credit righteousness, how does he credit righteousness here? What's the word up here that means without? The word that means without. He credits righteousness without. It's apart from, alright? Alright, David not only speaks of having righteousness given as a gift or credited without working, he talks about how wonderful it is. This is such a blessing. You know why it was a blessing to David? Because David slept with another man's wife. Do you know how he covered the sin up? Genius idea, kill the husband. Do you know that sin worked in his heart? And finally he came to God with that particular sin. And God showed him this truth, that I can save you apart from your works, even though you deserve death. Those two sins were sins that were death penalty sins in Israel. And God saved David the death penalty, but he saved David's soul from those two sins. And they were terrible sins. But if there was only a little sin, it would have to be on Jesus. But David did two terrible sins. And so David, after he realizes that his salvation is by trusting God, he says, this is a blessing. And here's what we have. This again is from the Bible. It's from Psalm 31 verses 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds. What did David say about a deed is what you do, right? Kind of D-O and D-E-D are related words. I don't know how that works, but blessed are those whose lawless deeds. David broke God's law. He broke the commandment on thou shalt not commit adultery, which is commandment number what? I'm trying to remember. You shall not commit adultery, commandment number 7. And then he broke the one about murder. You shall not commit murder, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, you shall not commit murder. That's lawlessness, right? By the way, some of you may have killed people, I don't know. But God can forgive that sin, can't he? Some of you may have committed adultery, right? May not have kept your marriage promise. God can forgive that sin. And David says it's lawlessness. And so he says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been what, everyone? Let's say it. Forgiven. All right. Let's just read this together here. We'll start with blessed. Everybody together. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. Hey, how blessed are you today? How blessed are you today? David looked back on his sin and he didn't smile because he killed Uriah, or he didn't smile because he had adultery with Bathsheba. But he smiled when he thought of those sins to think, God forgave me and blessed me. God covered up those lawless deeds. God knows my heart. And then it says, and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. This take into account, it's a different way of saying credit. All right? What does David say if you're saved? In the Abraham example, let's go back to Abraham. In the Abraham example, and I'm going to use the red circler. Credited to him. Okay? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him. David used similar words down here. Take into account means not credited. God's salvation is so wonderful that when I trust the Lord Jesus to take away my sins, God not only credits me his own righteousness, puts it on my account, but what about sins in the future? What if you do something bad in the future? He says, David says, the Lord will not credit my account with sin any longer. Because David trusted the Lord for salvation, God said, I will no longer credit sin to your account. Because God gives his righteousness, not mine. You don't get God's righteousness by working. And I have something equally important. You don't keep God's righteousness by working either. Jesus saved you. Jesus keeps you, doesn't he? Do you think, is this a blessing where God, you know, it's a wonderful thing to say, oh, I trusted the Lord Jesus, my sins are gone. But then to know the relief and the blessing that God says, I am not going to put sin on your account any longer so that you go to hell. Now, God is a father, and if I sin, he'll correct me. Same as you do with your children. But you don't kick them out of the family, do you? You don't kick your kids out of the family when they're bad. They're still your children. But God is not eternally punishing people who have trusted him for salvation. All right. We have two great examples. We have example number one, Abraham, the first Jewish person. He was not saved by works. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, that's a good example. And then we've got David, the best king of Israel, Israel's hero. He believed God and he's, not only was it credited to him, he says, this is the greatest blessing of my life. And then he says, God won't credit sin to my account any longer. So he talked about security. Safety after I trust Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted him to keep you forever? That's a good question. All right. Oh, we're back to Abraham again. How can we go back to Abraham? Example number three is Abraham again. But this time, there's a big question on timing. And Paul is going to make a point, and his point is, you Jewish people, when did Abraham get saved? Abraham got saved before he was a Jew, before he was a nation. He got saved when he was a Gentile. And then God started the Jewish nation. Now, why is that important? When did Abraham get saved? Why is it important that Abraham got saved before he was the first Jew while he was still a Gentile? Because we're Gentiles. Abraham's not only the great example for Jewish people, and I don't think anyone's Jewish here. So, oy vey. We're Gentiles. Abraham's an example for Gentiles too, so let's look at it. Is this blessing You know, the blessing of free salvation is the blessing of free salvation by faith, then on the circumcised. I help us out here. Sometimes he calls the Jews circumcised, of course, because circumcised the boys at 8 days of age. Or on the uncircumcised, that's the Gentiles. All right, and so who just gets this blessing, Jews or Gentiles? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. He goes right back to the verse and from Genesis 15, it was credited to Abraham's righteousness. How then was it credited? And let me make a change here, even though it says how. He's really asking the question, when? My cursive, I don't know if that helps you out or not, but it's when. Trust me, that's the word when. Now again, you have to put your thinking hats on here, because Paul is saying timing is everything. When did it happen? And he says, when was it credited? While he was circumcised? In other words, when he was a Jew? Or when he was a Gentile? Did Abraham? We don't know unless the Bible tells us, right? Not while a Jew, but while a Gentile. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised. Oh. Did you get it? Abraham trusted the Lord and was saved before he became Jewish, before he had the surgery on his penis to remove the end of the skin on the thing. And every Jewish boy has that done. What a terrible thing to do to a kid. Imagine, he must be crying for days. So they do that cruel thing to their kids. And God says, do it. So we have dogs, some of us cut the tails off of our dogs when they're puppies so that they're cuter. So something like that, right? So while it was certain, so he says, and he received the sign, that sign of having that mark in his skin. It was a seal. It was a mark of his righteousness by faith. For Abraham, he was circumcised as a 99-year-old man. His son was born, he was circumcised as an eight day old person. But when Abraham had that surgery done on him, it was to show he had trusted God. But he trusted God before he was circumcised. He trusted God as a Gentile. So who does salvation by faith come to? Everybody. Jews and Gentiles both. And so it says, it happened before so that he might be the father of all who believe. In one sense, Abraham's the father of all who believe, because he really showed it clearly before anyone else. This is what you have to do to be saved. You have to trust the Lord. And he proved it in such a way that it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or you're not Jewish, it doesn't matter who you are in the world. The only way to be saved is to believe. And so he did it so that righteousness might be credited to everybody. And so, let me make this clear. So that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, and the father of those who also are Jewish people. All right, so end of example for us anyway. So we have three examples so far. We have Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. We have David, the best king of the Jewish nation. And then we have Abraham the Gentile. And all three of these examples prove that salvation is not by works. Now he says a lot. I wish we could like sit down in my house and very slowly do this like we do with the kids in our Bible study, but we can't. So let's maybe try to get another thing out of here. God made other promises to Abraham. He not only promised him and he made him righteous, He promised him that he would be a father of many nations, that he would be like a king. He made him future promises. And God is saying that those future promises were not by keeping the law, but they were through the faith of Abraham. Yeah, we'll read it. I think it would be good to read it. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath. Where there is no law, there is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it might be in accordance with grace. So that the promise will be guaranteed. You know you have the promise of being right with God, right? He's talking about your future. We also have a promise of heaven, don't we? How is that guaranteed? By faith. By faith in Jesus Christ, God gives you the gift of eternal life. God promises you an inheritance, a heaven, a house with the Father in the future. It's all by faith. Everything in God's plan is by trusting Him. And I want to tell you how hard it was for Abraham to believe this. I already mentioned it. About Abraham, how difficult was it for Abraham to trust God? In hope, against hope, he believed, so that he might become the father of many nations. In other words, he trusted, but there was nothing in him that would be a way he could make this happen. It says, so that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. In other words, Abraham is, I think at this point, he has his son when he's 100, and his wife is 90. When God brings him out to the tent, I don't know how old he is at that point. But when he has his son, he's 100 years old, he thinks about his body. And he says, I don't think a 100-year-old man can have a child. And my wife's 90, I know she can't have a child. And so that was his difficulty. It says, without becoming weak in faith, he thought about or contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was past childbearing. Yet with respect to the promise of God, you know, God creates wombs, doesn't he? He creates women, he creates men. But so he says, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver. That means he didn't go back and forth. It says he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. If God promises, God performs. And so therefore, now he added, I highlighted this, he added a word from Genesis 15, that shouldn't be in capitals, it's not there. It was also credited to him as righteousness. Once again, God is saying that Abraham is righteous because he's trusting him for the future. Therefore, it was also credited him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited him, but also for our sake, to whom it was credited, as to those who believe him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was delivered over because of your sins? Your sins. Do you believe he was raised to give you his eternal life? Will you accept him today? These also, for us who do believe, are good arguments. We can say God has always saved people by faith. He's never saved people by their doing good. Abraham was never saved by doing good. David was never saved by doing good. Abraham never got these wonderful promises by being good. It's always a gift by faith. But for us, it's so clear. Jesus has already paid the payment. Jesus is already alive from the dead. We can almost see him. And God is just saying, trust what's already happened. Abraham couldn't trust in what had already happened. He had to believe that one day this would happen. But you and I look back and we see the cross and we say, it's happened. You can trust the Lord. I'm going to close in prayer. I think two things. Number one, thank the Lord for your salvation. If you are assured that Jesus Christ died for your sins, then thank him. And if you never have today, trust him. You know, if you trust Jesus as your Savior today, I will go get another cupcake and we'll put a candle on it, okay? And we'll light it. And today will be your first birthday. Not a year, it'll be your zero day. This is a real birthday when you get eternal life. We'll go light a candle for you. Tell someone, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Let's pray.